to be his wonderful name.
Hallelujah. You feel good? Sure beats the alternative. You say, I don't go by feelings. Okay, when you feel bad, don't tell me about it then. If you're breathing and living, you have feelings. And I have news for you tonight. Your father has feelings. He's not a piece of stone. Where is that rock? It got moved. Okay. He's not a piece of rock. He's real. And he has feelings. Amen. How can your high priest be moved by the feeling of your infirmity if he's unfeeling? He's not a computer, right? He's real. You say, we don't go by feelings. I get that. We go by the word, but the word causes feelings. Amen. Hallelujah. If you can figure out how to not have feelings, I'd like to know about how you pulled that off. But Brother Branham said, anything that has emotion is alive. He said, anything that doesn't have emotion is dead, and you should bury it. Amen. Well, we're not here to have a funeral service. He's alive. Amen. And since he's alive, I'm alive. Amen. He came to give us that life, and that life more abundantly. Amen. So we're going to invite our brother to come out and for round two here tonight. The devil, zero. God, infinite. Amen. We've read the back of the book, and and we're totally in agreement with that. But, you know, as the battle's raging on, we can see it doesn't look like we're losing even, right? I'm seeing the devil get licked at every turn. Amen? More and more and more and more. And he's getting desperate, right? He's read the back of the book too. Yeah, and he knows what's in store. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I've had a song in my heart, but I don't know where it is now. But somebody just say, praise the Lord. You know, that would be okay. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to find it. Amen, amen. Amen. Well, while I'm looking for it, I know it was the blood. While I'm looking for it. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross. I know it was the blood for me. Amen. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross. I know it was the blood for me. It had to be the blood. It had to be the blood. It had to be the blood for me. One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross. It had to be the blood for me. Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Well, I still haven't found it, so I guess I ought to sing a little more, huh? Praise his wonderful name. Well, let's sing Fill My Way with Love as our brother comes tonight. Amen. Several of you told me that the Lord spoke to you this morning. And I didn't talk to all of you. So I'm sure all of you have a testimony, right? But we need to make it known, because sometimes the devil says you're the only one having a problem, right? And then you get healed. Well, you're the only one that needed it. Well, no, you're not the only one having a problem. We're all going through things, and you're not the only one that needs healing. And you aren't the only one that got healed. But we won't know it if you don't say something, right? So let's extra, extra read all about it. Let's let it be known. All the negative stuff we hear about that, there's no energy. People don't say, oh, it's too hard to talk about the negative, or it's too hard to whatever. It just comes out. Right? How much more of the positive ought to come out? Because there's so much more positive that's going on right now. Amen? You believe that? Key F. Yeah, that's better. There we go. Let me walk, blessed Lord, in the way thou hast gone, leading straight to the land above, giving cheer everywhere to the sad and the lone. Fill my way every day with love. Lord, fill my way every day with love. As I walk with the heavenly dove, let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way. Amen. Keep me close to the side of my Savior and God. Let me never in darkness roam. Keep my path free from wrath and my soul satisfied. Fill my way every day with love. Is that your desire? Every day with love. As I walk with the heavenly dove. Oh, let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Feel my way every day with love. We'll be o'er and I'll travel no more, but abide in my home above. Oh, let me sing, blessed King, all the way to the shore. Fill my way every day with love. Lord, fill my way every day with love.
All the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with... Oh, let's sing that second verse. Well, keep me close to the side of my Savior in God. Let me never in darkness roll. Oh, keep my path free from wrath and my soul satisfied. Feel my way every day with love. Oh, feel my way every day with love. As I walk with the heavenly, I'll feel my way every day. On third verse. Well, soon the race will be o'er, and I'll travel no more, but abide in my home above. Oh, let me see, blessed King, all the way to the shore. Feel my way every day with love. Oh, feel my way. I'll feel my way every day with love. Hallelujah. Amen. Feel it every day. Amen. And we know what the Bible says, that God is love. So feel it every day with you, Lord. Amen. Let me walk. Let me walk. How many wants to walk with the Lord Jesus? There's no better friend that you can have than the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You appreciate Him? Amen. He is so good, isn't He? Hey, well, we can just keep singing. Hallelujah. There's a
There's a singing spirit up here. Amen. Hallelujah. But maybe we'll do that here in just a little bit. So we probably won't try to hold you too long tonight. I got only half a voice left anyway. So if you will, turn your Bibles this evening to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 22. Amen. I just thank the Lord for what he's done for us this morning. Amen. Each and every one of us can enter in. It's just up to us if we want to truly have a part. And I believe that the true bride of Christ will have a part. She will find herself sitting at the table. Amen. Enjoying what the King has in store for her. Amen. Let's just read this. Maybe we could read this and have a couple of verses of scripture to kind of tie some things together. But 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 1 and 2. And then we'll turn over to chapter 23 and read verse 14. It says, David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him. And he became a captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men. And think about what David's going through at this moment. If you turn over to chapter 23 and verse 14, it says, And David abode in the wilderness in strongholds and remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day. But God delivered him not into his hand. Amen. Hallelujah. If you have a need, just lift your hand to the Lord. Gracious Lord Jesus, Father, we just bow before you, Lord, this evening. So thankful, God, once again, Lord, for this time of gathering. Lord, this is a precious moment in our life. Lord, to be able to come, Lord, into this place, to be able to sit at your feet, Lord, for you to speak to our hearts. Lord, we're not here for man, but Lord, we're here to hear from you this evening. And we ask God that you just come, Lord, and that you'd meet the needs of each and every one that lifted their hand tonight. Lord, no matter what the thing is that they are desiring, we know, God, that you are a need-meeting God. And we heard this morning that you'll never leave us and you won't fail us. And here you are, Lord, again tonight, Lord, in this place. And we appreciate, Lord, that you come by this way. And now, God, we ask that you would just take everything under your control, Lord Jesus, including myself. God, that you would speak the words of life to every heart. That lives would be changed, that hearts would be drawn closer to you. Lord, that people, Lord, would be filled with your spirit. God, that is our desire, Lord, to see another child, Lord, birthed into your kingdom. God, that's the heart of every true believer, Lord. We pray that that would be tonight, Lord, that you would have that on the menu, Father. God, that you would just come, Lord, and have your way. And we just surrender ourselves unto you now. We ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. Lord bless you, church. Amen. I do appreciate the pull of for you pulling this morning. And it just makes it easier if you have a pull, amen, to be able to come and deliver your heart. Tonight, if we can, just for a few moments, we again not try to hold you very long here this evening, but I want to talk a little bit about about David. We want to talk about where he was. You know, I just think about the things David, you know, there's more wrote about David in the Old Testament than any other person. There's more wrote about him than any other person in the Old Testament. I believe that we know as a type of Christ, we know the things that he faced, so many things that he had went through. And if there's ever been maybe someone that you could look to and say, you know what, I can relate to what David's going through. There's so much written about him that we should be able to relate to some portion of his life. It may be the time that he had slaying his Goliath. Maybe you've had that moment. It could be the time, brothers and sisters, that you were sitting on the throne, as it were, and maybe you've done things that you've regretted. But each time that you look at David's life, you begin to see maybe a reflection of yourself. So tonight, if we will, and if you'll allow us tonight for just a little bit, to be able to take the mirror of the Word of God and be able to see ourselves in this mirror tonight and recognize what God has done and what He will do for you. If you will, turn over also in the book of Romans. We want to read chapter 8, verse 18 and 19. But to set this in order, I want you to really see. Now, David, we know David was, what the Bible says, that he was a man after God's own heart. We know that he was found as a little boy on the backside of the desert tending his father's sheep. Didn't seem like he was much of a person. Didn't seem like he was very important. If you really want to get down to the nitty gritty of it, even when Samuel came by to anoint one of the sons of Jesse to be king, he wasn't even called to come and stand before Samuel. Now, a lot of us, if we got to that point in our life, we may have just said, well, what's the use? Right. He didn't even invite me. Daddy didn't even invite me to come and stand and give me a chance. But see, it didn't really matter what Daddy did or what Daddy said, because there was an anointing that was going to be placed upon David's life. Right. And this anointing wasn't just going to be there, brothers and sisters, because his daddy had said, well, it's going to be him. No, but God looked down into the heart of David. Yes. And he began to see something in David that he didn't see in the other boys. Yes. Yes. Amen. Though they came from the same lineage, they came from the same mommy and daddy. Right. Something was different about David. Brothers and sisters, I want to say something was different about you one day. Amen. When God came down and He began to speak directly to your heart, He began to pull you into a realm, brothers and sisters, that some people have never experienced. I'm talking about in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh, brothers and sisters, now that's something to be excited about, because you've been there. Hallelujah, you've experienced those moments. And if you never have, I invite you tonight to stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and let Him bring you into that place, that position. So David didn't have it easy. He was out on the backside of the desert. All he heard was the sheep and the things, and he had to just push off the lions and the bears and all these things. He had target practice, maybe just to keep his mind off of things. But you know, it came to a point in time where he was actually in training for something great. Right. We know the story, as he was called, and you know the story, how he was sent out there as a young boy, even to take his brothers some, I didn't have all this premeditated, I was trying to get a background tonight, but he took his brothers some victuals, I guess we just call it that, some beans and cornbread, however you want to put it. Sure. He was out there to deliver just a little meal for his brothers that were in battle. And I say in battle, and I say that lightly. Because every single Israelite was doing this number. Is he out there? I heard. Huh? Now this was reported. Think about this. This was reported of this great big giant of a man. How much everything weighed and all the great things that he has conquered and overcome. But all of a sudden, I like what Brother Branham says, that he says one day it fell on the wrong ears. Yeah. One day it fell on the wrong ears, Brother Doug. One day, hallelujah, something began to be proclaimed. The enemy says, I've got you where I want you. Sure. Come on, you're running, you're hiding, you're scared to death. But brothers and sisters, he stood out there and said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He doesn't belong where he's at. Help us tonight, Lord. What happened? There was something inside of David that didn't matter how the size of the dog in the fight. It mattered the size of the fight in the dog. Amen. Oh, brothers and sisters, I pray that there's a fight inside of you, hallelujah, that's so enormous that the devil has to think twice about sending you a battle. Amen. Come on, church. Think about it. But this wasn't always the way things went. He didn't always have the great mighty victories in his life. He didn't always overcome everything that came his way. He had his moments of discouragement. You know the story, how his life goes. And I just want to read this. Romans 8 verse 18. It says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
Amen.
Someone say us. That's including me tonight. It says, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Amen. Something is happening. Something is changing. Right. Amen. See, he had been anointed king years before this moment that he is now, that we just read in chapter 22. He's been on the run. Saul has hated him. Saul wants to do away with David. And David, all that he knows to do is to run.
Yeah, right.
And hide. Now you think, why is he hiding when he just faced a Goliath and he just destroyed this Goliath? Why in the world is David running into caves? Oh my. You know, he could look back and say, you know, I was anointed years ago to be king. And now where am I? We just read where he was. He was in the cave of Adullam. In this place. But I want us to understand this. That your life has periods of arches in it.
Yeah.
If you understand what I mean, you're going to be, sometimes you're going to come to the house of God and the preacher can preach anything and you're just going to be hanging from the ceiling fan. You could be singing, they could sing any song in that songbook and you would just shout the glory. Because you are in an arch. But brothers and sisters, it ain't always that way. It ain't always to that point where you can just be rejoicing and singing praises. There's times, brothers and sisters, that we walk through those doors and it looks like if we were to step off a newspaper, we'd break both legs. Now, most of you are laughing because you know it's the truth. But David had these kind of moments. That's why I like to see the things that David went through, is because he had his moments of great victory. And you have had your moments of great victory, have you not? But you've also had your moments where you were hiding in the cave. You had your moments, brothers and sisters, that you didn't know where Saul was. But you did know he was after you. So looking at this, every king has their cave moment. And I want to talk to you a little bit about tonight. We'll call this the king. There's a king in the cave. Okay. There's a king in the cave. Now, if you really look at this, at what a king is, it says the king is a male monarch of a major territorial unit, especially one, listen, I love this, whose position is hereditary.
Yeah.
And who rules for life. If you don't get nothing else out of that, brothers and sisters, that ought to change your whole demeanor. Amen. It's a position that is hereditary and one who rules for life. That means if you're 85 years old, you're still a king. Because you're still alive. Hello. You may only be 18, but if the kingship has landed in your lap, you're still a king. Why? Because you're still alive and you're still breathing. Oh, brothers and sisters, you might have your moments of being low, but I want you to know that you're still kings. Hallelujah. You may have your cave moment, but you're still kings. Oh my. Now I want to think about this. I don't know much about this because I don't play this game, but I do want us to think about this. I just did some little research. How many has ever played the game chess? Maybe you've played that game. So if you notice, there's all the important pieces on the board. But can anybody tell me what the most important piece is? And now you may say it's the queen, because she can move here and she can move there. But notice, the queen can be taken and you still win. But the king is the most important piece on that chessboard. See, there are three ways to attack the king. It's very important to know all three ways and the differences between them. First, if you look, there's a thing called check. How many's ever heard that?
That means when the king is under attack by one of the opponent's pieces, the king is in check. When your king is in check, you must get out of check. Now, this is just basic stuff that I pulled just right off to say what it is. You must get out of check. It says you are never allowed to make a move that leaves your king in check. And you are also never allowed to make a move that puts your king in check. It is against the rules. Devil, I want you to know it's against the rules. If you're listening tonight, go have one of your demons tell you it's against the rules. And I know my father, he's watching over, making sure everything's played fair. This also means that the king can never be captured. Because it can never be left under attack. Hello, listen. There are three ways to get out of check, and you may or may not be able to use all three ways depending on the position. Now just bear with me for just a minute as we try to bring this home. Sometimes you have all three choices, and sometimes you may only have two, or maybe you only have one choice. And here are the three ways for you to get out of check. And this is no great big mystery. This is not something that's going to be, woo. I'm going to tell you something simple tonight. Because some of us may be in check tonight. Hello. Come on, the enemy knows your position. He knows, brothers and sisters, he's on the attack. He's trying every way to get every piece off the board. Amen. Because he's wanting you. He's wanting your soul. He's wanting your worship. He's wanting your dedication. Hello. He's trying every way possible to get that king captured. My. Think about this. So the first way to get out of check is move. You know, that's the biggest revelation we probably had all night. How many of us, yes, how many of us said, this is my spot? Ain't nobody going to cause me to move. Can I just tell you this? Checkmate. See, sometimes God has got the simple answer of just move. Just move. Just get out of the condition and the place that you've been. That little square that you've been there so long, brothers and sisters. It feels like, oh, this is my little place. I got my decorations put up. I got everything where I want it. Hello. But maybe God's asking you this evening just to get out of your own condition and move out of that place. Oh my, move the king to us. Well, this is not hard. Listen, move the king to a square where it's not in check. My. Brother Branham says this. But it's not only so with Jesus. No matter where you've got education, whether you got close, hardly to where, every little turn that you make to Him, He sees it and He knows it. He says, why don't you today let the Holy Spirit move you closer to the cross? Why don't you get ready today? As it was, hallelujah, in the days of Noah, so will it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Brothers and sisters, we just need to move. He says, you know, it's scientifically proved that every move you make is recorded. They prove that. Remember, television proved that. The television doesn't manufacture the picture. He says, you're the picture. See, sometimes, I preach a lot faster, but something's got to sink in just a second. He says, you're the picture. It just transmits that, what you're doing, into a channel.
This has been transmitted. All those who do not want to move.
Hello. Oh my, he says, it just transmits that what you're doing into a channel. You're there. Anyhow, it says, when you move your finger, that move goes around the world. Every time that you put on a dress, your looks goes around the world. Woo! Hallelujah. It's on a record. Every thought that goes through your mind is on record. And someday the record is going to quit playing. It's going to be put in an album. Oh, brothers and sisters, I hope you can see this, the importance of us getting out sometimes of our little place. We just get so, we're creatures of habit. You know, tonight you probably came and sat down in the very seat that you always sit in. Most of us. Move. See, right now that thought was going through. Does he mean now? What do we do? Nobody else has made a move. I ain't moving either. See, what is it? We're so conscientious. What is people going to think? What would the devil think tonight if you moved? He would probably be knocked right out of his chair. Why? Because we did something we haven't been doing. All right, I got to move on. Lord, help me. I got a long way to go. The next thing that you can do to get out of check is block, which means to put a piece between the king and the piece giving the check. How many's ever needed a block? Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Brother Branham says this is now. We find that this great enemy of God thought, now as long as they will believe that word, I can never get to them. As long as that little family in Eden keeps behind that word, I can never touch them. Woo! Listen, church. See, so, now you're just switching over. Now, I hope you catch this. It says, neither can he today. Amen. He's still blocked off. That's right. It says, but if I can use some real good a strategy or just reason them out, I can give some human reasoning because she's human. And if I can just give human reasonings, well, I'll win the battle. Listen, but then Eve gave away. So therefore, we know our enemy by his attacks. Maybe you didn't get it the just right. He says, the way I said it, we know our enemy when anyone, any spirit, any person tries to disagree with the word of God, remember that's your enemy. That's your enemy. He says it again. We know his old attack. That's the one he broke the human race down. It says, and that's the way he breaks them down yet today. And that's the way he gets you away from God, is to disbelieve his word. Yeah. You know what is blocking you right now between you and a full-blown enemy attack is the word of God. Amen. Hello. It's the only way you can ever stay in fellowship with God, is to talk to him in a cool in the evening. It's to stay fortified in the word on both sides. Let the curtain of God's word drop all around you. Amen. And you be a drop right in the middle of it. I've been blocked. How many times I come through the doors and God said, we're going to block that old enemy tonight. Amen. He thought he was going to get one over on us, but he ain't got nothing. The next thing, the third thing you can do is capture. It means capture the peace, giving the check. It says, but you know all along, Brother Branham says this, you know all along where there has been that kind of a battle fought. There has also been God's believing people has had many great V-days too. Oh yes, there's been on both sides. It says where the glass has focused and went into the natural side with V-days. Also where it focuses into the word in the scripture, it brings another V-day. Yes. Hallelujah. It says we've had many of them, great battles against our enemy. And God has had great men out here, yes, that standing out in front, yes, who has been able to capture by the Spirit of God the thoughts of the people and to throw it into the kingdom of God yonder and come out victorious. He says we fight it every day. Every Christian fights this battle. Every day we're in a warfare right now going on constantly within us between right and wrong. He says, what shall we do? Shall we bow to the world? Shall we give up his thoughts? this thought, excuse me, that we got. He says, and if we, he says, and if we see it, he says, focus it, take it from Genesis to Revelation.
Right.
She is, thus saith the Lord. Each time, right down through there, he says, we can't give it up. We can't compromise with the rest of them. We just can't do it. We've got to stay here. That's all, no matter how great the enemy is or how much machinery he's got against us, how many organizations and how many of this and that and the other. He says, we have pulled this into focus in God's word till we find that there's one thing, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. See, it doesn't make any difference what the world says. Sometimes you have to capture those things. Sometimes whatever it is that's blocking you, you may need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And there's something standing between you and it. What has to happen? There has to be a capture moment. Let the Holy Spirit, I can't do it, no one else can, but let the Holy Spirit come tonight and capture that thing and remove it out of the way. Why? Because you're kings tonight. Hallelujah. I'm looking at kings tonight. Oh, my brothers and sisters, don't let the devil tell you that you're not who you really are. I said all these things, let's focus. Let's focus right on this word. Hallelujah, that's right. He says we're in a warfare, and God's heroes has always had warfare. You little church, remember, I want to get this. He says, remember back there, back here, it says you are a part of that unit. You're an outpost here. He says that you know what an outpost is. He said you should, by being some in it right here. It says so you're an outpost back here to a place and to keep the banners up. Hallelujah. And claim that Jesus Christ is the only hope of the world. See, we're not a Methodist church. We're not a Baptist church. We're not Presbyterian ideas or Catholic or Jewish. It says whatever it might be. He says that's not it. It's Jesus Christ. See, he's the only one. He's the one. He's our victor. He's the one. He's the chief captain of the move. This is his orders, and we've got to carry out his orders. You think about this. If you were in the army and your superior told you to do something, you had to listen to the exact words that were spoken and carry out his exact words that was spoken. You don't just put in your own ideas and how you think it ought to be. You had to do exactly what was said. And I want to do exactly what this word says. Amen?
Yes.
Now notice here, if you look and you see, we'll just try to get through this. It says checkmate. It says what checkmate is when you are in check and there is no way to get out of check. Then it is checkmate. You cannot move, you cannot block or capture to get out of check. You lose the game. And if you put the opponent in checkmate, then you win the game. We already said this morning, we already looked at the back of the book and we know who the winners are. So I want the devil to hear us just really, really loud say this word, checkmate!
Checkmate!
Now, some of y'all don't act like you like to have victories. Yeah, I won. Yeah, I'm a winner. You're a winner, all right. You ever seen them people? I know, Brother Doug, you know what I'm talking about. What do? They get all excited. You know, I got so into everything I did when I was younger, so competitive. We played volleyball. I was out on the court. I was slinging arms. I was kicking dust. I was doing everything. They called me the ball hog. I just went everywhere all over the court. They said, get in your spot. I was like, I know, but I want to make sure you hit the ball. And I got so into it. I play a game of Uno. Guess what? I'm into it. You give me a draw four, I'm going to give you a dirty look. If I can be that competitive about these things in life,
right.
Brothers and sisters, when I read this book and it tells me that I'm a winner, that I might lose a battle every now and then, but I ain't going to lose the war. Oh, brothers and sisters, that makes me excited. That makes me want to tell the devil again, checkmate. Oh, hallelujah. Brother Branham says this, oh, our Lord Jesus Christ never loses.
Amen.
He can't lose. Hallelujah. I love that sound. Doesn't that sound so good? He can't lose. Oh my. The Christian has not one worry in the world. They should be the most freest, happiest people in all the world, because there's nothing that says you can't lose. And all things work together for good to them that love God. So how can we lose? There's just nothing to lose. He says, is there? He says, we're just anchored away in Jesus Christ, going home to glory, having a good time while we're going along. God providing everything for us. How marvelous. See, I want you to understand, you got to be kings tonight. So if you're looking here, I will just read a few scriptures if that's okay. The prayer of David while he was on his face in the cave. Psalms chapter 142. Just to read a few verses here. And I want to get you back to where he was. He says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. Isn't that amazing how we got to tell God how bad our trouble is? Like he doesn't already know. He already knows how bad it was for you. How hard you took it. And yet we have to tell him, Lord, it was really bad. I don't mean this any wrong, but he's just saying, duh. I already know. That's why you got to call on me. Call in the big guns. Help us, Lord. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privately laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and behold, it says, and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Come on, how many of us have prayed this prayer? I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors. It says, for they are stronger than I. Whew. What does he end up? But what does he end with? Bring my soul out of prison. That I may praise thy name. Hallelujah. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Notice one. This is one of the Psalms he wrote while he was in a cave. Now he was not just in one cave, he was in a couple of caves. So I don't know if it was this one or whichever one it was, but I know it was a cave. But I want to tell us tonight that that's not the only thing he wrote. If you look in Psalms 34, I think this is good as well. We just actually, I think our brother led the song that was part of Psalms 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. Notice something's changing in the cave. Now it's still dark and it's still a cave. But his whole outlook is changing.
That's right, amen.
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. It says, the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Yeah. Whew, hallelujah. I want to go back to what we read at the very beginning. Look at the crew that David had. It says here, everyone that was in distress. Everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him, and he became the captain over them. What a group of people. I think pastors have felt this way before. Lord, you sent all the discontented, all the distressed. Help us, Lord. Amen. Come on, church. But notice they didn't stay in this place. They begin to hear David's prayer. They begin to see a difference. Let me finish reading. It says, "Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints." It says, "For there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." Amen. Verse 15, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles." Amen. "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." Oh, think about this, brothers and sisters. It's a dark place. It's a dark place. It's a cave. Anybody know what a cave is? Anybody been in a cave? It's an underground chamber. Below the surface of the earth, there's stalagmites and stalactites. Some of us are stalactites and some of us are stalagmites. Some of us hold on real tight and some of us said, "I just might get somewhere one day." Oh, what happened? They were in this cave. It was barren. It was dark. But it was also a place that they actually took shelter and protection from danger. See, David had to go through these cave moments to be able to write these kind of psalms. He needed a protection. And he found that protection in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want us to jump down here if we can read this. I want us to understand, brothers and sisters, maybe I'll ask you this question. Can you praise him even though you're in a cave?
Yes.
Can you be like David and come to recognize, even though I'm in this cave, I'm still going to worship God? Because I'm not going to be this. I'm going to let this thing take my place. I love this rock. Remind me after, sir, I'm going to take a picture of that. He can take my place. No, David, there was something inside of David that says, "My praise is going to come out." See, listen, you got to recognize you're here in this cave because of the conflict in your life.
Right.
You say, why did God bring me to this place? Why did God allow me to be in this cave? God laid this on my heart because you're in a cave.
Yeah.
But know this. God led you there for a purpose.
Amen.
And you're going to go through something because you are anointed.
That's right.
Notice this. You're going to go through this because you are anointed.
Amen.
You look back in Saul's life, Saul didn't have these kind of moments. Not the cave. Saul was the one chasing David. I want you to understand you have been given the throne. No, notice David ain't sitting on a throne. He's sitting on a rock.
Yeah.
Think about that for just a minute.
Right.
He's already anointed.
Yeah.
He's already even killed a Goliath.
Sure.
And he's sitting there in a dark place on a hard rock.
Yeah.
And he's anointed to be king. See, you have been given the throne. But you won't get the throne uncontested.
Right.
There's going to be a warfare.
Yeah.
There's going to be a battle, brothers and sisters. You're going to get it, but you've got to go through.
Right.
Brothers and sisters, I want you to have such a determination when you leave those doors tonight and say, "I have got to go through." It doesn't matter how big the circumstance is. It doesn't matter how big Goliath may be. I've got to go through this. It doesn't matter how dark the cave is. I'm coming through.
Amen.
Checkmate, devil.
Amen.
Maybe I should look down. Checkmate, devil. See, the current occupant of the throne knows that their time's up. You're next. Think about that. Now Saul knew his time was up. The Spirit of the Lord had already departed from Saul. And he knew his time was up, and therefore he was looking at David, and he saw the anointing that was on David. He felt the anointing from David when David would come. They even asked that David would come and sing those songs. Why? Because it would alleviate the stress and all the pressures that's going on inside of Saul's mind.
Yeah.
And he saw an anointing on David.
Yeah.
Whew, listen, how many times, brothers and sisters, that current occupant of the throne knows that their time's up. I want to tell you, there's a lot of times that fear knows that their time is up.
Right.
So what does it try to do? It tries to raise its ugly head. Say, don't go down to that altar. Pride begins to stand up. Huh? Why? That current occupant of the throne begins to stand up. Don't go down there. People, what are they, people going to say about you? How long have you been going to church? And you're going to go down to an altar? You're going to go get prayed for? They ain't got nothing for you. You know, they do say that you can get it in your seat. Let me just tell you a quick story. Is that okay? I remember one day when I was seeking a baptism on top of a baptism, and I wanted something so bad. And I sat in my pew, and they began to sing songs of victory and hallelujahs, and they were singing great songs, and all of a sudden I felt the power of God, and he just spoke into my ear, and he said, "Run." And my eyes got like that big. Before I was like, "Lord, just speak to me, I'll do." And when he spoke, I was like, "That's not what I was asking for. That's not it." You know what I even told the Lord? I said, "Lord, I'll raise my hands." Guess what? I didn't get my victory that way. He said, I even said, "Lord, I'll even make my way up to the front."
Okay.
And I made my way up to the front. Still no victory.
Right.
And all of a sudden, the power of God began to move away.
Yeah.
See, because he's timid. He had already spoke to my heart of what to do.
Sure.
And you know what went through my mind? I am 6'3". I wear a 36-inch pant. And guess what happens? I'm going to look like a giraffe running across the church. Devil told me that.
Sure.
Or my mind thought it. One of the two. I don't know. But it was real.
Uh-huh.
I saw myself.
Right.
That looks dumb. Huh? Come on, don't tell me the devil had never done nothing like that to you. Guess what? When I felt the power of God move out, I said, "Lord, I'm so sorry." I said, "If you'll give me one more chance." See, because I needed that little boost to get me started. I need a little jump to get me going. I wasn't brave enough to go on my own. All of a sudden, they started singing this song, and it goes, "Oh, and we are in." And there I went. Hallelujah. I didn't care what anybody thought, what anybody was. It didn't matter to me then. There I went, running around the church. Before I know it, I had a whole trail behind me. Brothers and sisters, I didn't just get my victory. I was helping somebody else get theirs. Woo. Checkmate. Checkmate. Amen. Hallelujah. Think about that for just a minute. How many times has the devil tried to talk you, or maybe he has talked you, out of a victory? Right there. You were right there. You were on the very cusp of it. Don't lose out. Don't lose out. Whatever it is, that occupant right now that's trying to take over, is trying to take your mind. We've got a battle going on right now. I rebuke that thing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll give you the victory tonight. Whew. I'm going to tell it right now. Your time's up, devil. Your time's up. Whew, you've been on there way too long. Think about it. I got to hurry on. Help me, Lord. What makes a cave hard to dwell in is when you are called there, but you don't know why. You're in the cave. You're in the cave and you don't know why you're in there. "Lord, I thought I was doing things right."
Yeah.
And here I am. But can I tell you why you're in the cave tonight? Can I give you the answer why you're in the cave? You're in the cave because you're next.
Yeah.
You're in the cave because your position has called you. You know, when I'm at home, and I don't mean this by any, Lord help me if it's a carnal way to put it, but I work for a plumbing company, and I've done plumbing since I was 18 years old. So I've done so many aspects of the plumbing industry, and residential, commercial, new construction, service, you name it, and I was there. And I have 8 technicians that are under me, and I have sat across the table and told them, I have been where you are. The struggles that you're facing right now, I've been where you are. And I want to just turn that around. And maybe it'll help us tonight to realize you're next, church. There's a body of believers that are overcomers. You are overcomers. It doesn't matter what the devil says. We know. Listen, the devil's a liar. It doesn't matter what he's told you. You know, every person in that building, none of them come up to me. Brother Doug said, you look just like a giraffe running around the church. Not one of them did. Isn't that amazing? They were so excited for me. How many brothers and sisters here tonight will rejoice with you when you get your victory? How many here tonight will pull out swords and stand with toe to toe with the enemy tonight for our young people, or these maybe that haven't had an experience with God? Are there real warriors in the house tonight that'll say, devil, you are not taking what God has given us? Checkmate, devil. My. You're next. You're next. You're next. Oh, you're next. Oh, hallelujah. It makes me feel good. I'm next. I'm next. I'm in line. I'm next. You know, one of these days, brothers and sisters, I'm going in a rapture. Amen. I'm not going to get through this tonight. I can already tell. My. That cave was an isolated place, because sometimes connections need to be disconnected. Think about that. This cave was an isolated place because some connections need to be disconnected. You know why? Your pastor, or maybe even just you, would want to go out somewhere and just get in the wilderness and be alone for just a little bit of time. Disconnected. And what I'm not meaning that in the wrong way. What I'm saying is, you just got to get away. I feel like Southwest tonight. Want to get away? Find Jesus. You want to get away? Find Jesus. Oh, he's got a special, all right. Southwest always sending specials out. Oh, my. I don't know where this is going. Lord, forgive me. See, this is all for a purpose. It's for your character development. God is developing you. David would have never been the king that he was without cave moments. You'll never be the king that God's requiring you to be without the moments that you've been suffering, the moments that you've been, it felt like you were alone. How many times we can go to someone else and say, I know what it's like. I've been where you're talking about. Let me tell you this. God will get you through it. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Joseph couldn't sit beside Pharaoh without a pit. Without false accusation. Without being in prison. Listen, God won't allow anyone bitter to sit on the throne. Listen, it didn't make Joseph bitter. You can see by his reaction. When he saw his brothers, you remember the story. How he, oh, something about it. He just began to see them, and he loved them so much. He began to ask about his father. What was it? There was no bitterness there. Oh, don't let this cave moment, it's not to get you bitter. No, brothers and sisters, you're better than that. Amen. Amen. See, you can't build anything for God without conflict. There's going to be conflict. Anytime you put your hand to the wheel. You remember in Nehemiah when they were building the wall. Oh my, Lord help me. When they were building that wall, that said the people had a mind to work. They completed those walls in 52 days. But what was it? Sanballat and Tobiah and all them come trying to discourage them. And they said that at one time they had, as it were, those that had a hand on the sword and a hand with a trowel.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
What was it? Brothers and sisters, you may leave here tonight with both. One day you're putting on plaster and the next moment you're killing devils.
Amen.
Hello? Amen. How many's ever went to work? Didn't realize it was going to be that kind of a day. Woo, you had the biggest target on your back. Hello. Oh my. See, there's going to be conflict. You don't know why you're here, but maybe you will tonight. You're here because you're great. In the eyes of God, you're great. You're here because you're anointed. You're here. Let this be a lighthouse. Let this place be a lighthouse. That someone walking down the road or someone that you meet and come in contact with, they will see the reflection of God in your eyes. Oh, brothers and sisters, what a precious moment it is when people come to the Lord. See, the cave is for you and God's connection to become greater. That's all it's for. It's all for that purpose. Proverbs 25:2 says, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. I'm going to read that again. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. You know why there's been that wondering in your heart, Lord, what about this? And what about, Lord, what should I do with this? I want to do everything that's pleasing to you. It's because you're kings and you want to do things that please the Lord.
Amen.
We're going to wind up with this. This is, Brother Branham says, I remember, he's talking about David as if he was David. He says, I remember when I sang his praises in my childhood days, when I herded my sheep, oh God, take me back to that place. Take me back to my first love. Take me back. Give me back my shepherd's staff. Give me back my herd of sheep. Let me alone back there to worship you. So how many can say, maybe at the point of life that you're in, you remember the days that maybe things were a little bit simpler. You remember they were just not quite so complicated. And how many times we could even, it wasn't so complicated even to come to church. Maybe that's what, but I want you to think for just a moment, how many times we've maybe longed to go back. But maybe you didn't even cherish that moment when you had it. But now you do. Now you look back and say, Lord, you I was living it up. I didn't even realize it. I was doing so, it was so good. But now you're in this moment and you have to reflect. David's doing the same thing. That sometimes we may think, it says, but we're in the heat of the battle. Something has got to be done. He says, we were boys once. We're grown up men now. The fight is on. I remember when the sawdust boiled up on the floor and the people screamed and shouted and you couldn't get around the place, nowhere here for people. But it's not that way today. The battle's on. Oh, it's not William Branham, the little boy preacher anymore. He says, you got to produce something. Yes, sir, there's got to be something different. The time is on. The battle is on. The heat is on. The time to be delivered. Hallelujah. The people, everyone is found written in the book. He says, now the time has come. David and all his frustrations, walking back and forth and thinking on this hot day. Oh my, I wish I had a drink. You remember that? Armies were down there everywhere. So we're sitting here at the mouth of this cave. And yet, the anointing oil on me. How can it be, oh God? How can it be? Oh, I wish I had a drink. His mind goes back there to the gates of Bethlehem. And there was a well. There just was no water like that water. Bethlehem was the water seep of the providence too. It says there was no water like Bethlehem had. David used to think, when I take my sheep and start out in the morning, I'd go and I'd find that old well and get something to drink. Oh, how cool and how sweet and how it quenched my thirst. Now his throat is a going, yet anointed. Get that. You may be here this morning or tonight, and you may be, something may be inside of you wanting something from the Lord, and you're anointed. You say, how can I be in this kind of condition? You're in a cave moment. Amen. Only if I had a drink of water. says, now his warriors, he said, he screamed out in despair, oh, if someone would bring me a drink of water from that well of yonder in Bethlehem. Oh, after dreaming of it all his childhood days and the victories, see him in the place where he's sitting there between the fires. He screamed, oh, somebody could bring me water from Bethlehem. Maybe you're sitting in a cave tonight and you're really thirsty for something. I know that God's here to meet that need. I want you to understand that a king has authority. Really get this as we close. See, you're either, you are under or over the authority of Satan. You're one of the two. And if you want to figure out which one you are, if you are under the authority to obey his voice or his command, then that means when he says don't go to church, you don't go to church. That means you're under his authority. When he says don't pray and you don't pray, you're under his authority. I know this gets touchy. This surgery's a little hard sometimes. We're getting down to nitty gritty. What is that? It's authority. But how many's ever heard him say, don't read and don't pray? And you say, I ain't listening to you, devil. And you go over there and you pick up your Bible and you begin to read. And you find a place, a closet of prayer. What is that telling? Satan, I'm not under your authority. You can speak all you want. But you have no authority. You know why? Because you're not the king. You're looking at one. I'm looking at some. Brothers and sisters, you've got to recognize who you are. Now don't just say, I'm a king, and then don't live it. Come on, there's got to be something to back it up. When Jesus spoke with authority, when he went to Capernaum, if you remember that, and he spoke in the synagogues and he taught, they were astonished at his doctrine, the Bible says, because he taught as one that had authority and not as the scribes. This was a different kind of preaching. Jesus stood behind there and he preached with authority because he knew who he was. See, brothers and sisters, you can say all day, well, I'm a Christian, but if you don't live it, you have no authority. Listen, you have no authority. You need to start living the life. Go through the cave moment and then step out of the cave, recognizing who you are and what God has done for you, and then you will have the authority over the enemy. Oh, my. Oh, mercy. I'm going to read you one more if that's all right. The Bram says this, Joshua stopped the sun. Is that true? Somebody said all things are possible with God. It says, but nothing is impossible. It says, but all things are possible to you also. Nothing impossible to them that believe. All things are possible. It says, brought right down and made you if you just know who God was. Well, I'm afraid that that the church doesn't know their authority. I'm afraid that the Holy Ghost born men doesn't realize their authority, says, or the authority that God has permitted to his church. He says, I'll give thee the keys to the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth, amen, will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose will be loosed. He says, I give you power over serpents and over all kinds of diseases and everything, and nothing shall harm you. He says, exercise your faith. Yes. Let it loose. Yes. Let God have his way. Yes. Oh, my. He says, listen, he says, we don't have power. He says, we're not have power. It says, we've got authority. Yeah. It's not a power, it's authority. We don't need power. Christ has the power, but we've got the authority. Yes, sir. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. He says, Christ has the power. It says, but we've got the authority. Amen. There's a lot of difference. He says, he is the one who conquered. He conquered the grave. It says, and gave us authority. He's got power and we've got authority. Just like an ambassador going to another country. He says, here, let me explain this. He says, you go down here to one of these crossings here in Phoenix along about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. He says, there's a policeman standing out there. He's in the car's passing by 40, 50 miles an hour. Well, this little bitty policeman may not be but 5 foot high. Walk out there, and why he's got power, he doesn't have enough power to stop one of them cars. Well, one of them cars may be 300 horsepower. It says, we'll just pick up that little fella and crush him and go on. But let him raise his hand once and blow the whistle. Yeah. He hasn't got power, but he's got authority. Right. He said, that's it. Brakes will slide and wheels will squeak. Everything will stop because he raised up his hand. Because he has an authority. And when a man or woman is dressed in the full armor of God, it ain't power, it's authority from on high. When he says devils, hallelujah, devils will scream and break and will squeak. He says even death itself will shudder and graves will open at the authority that Jesus Christ gave his church. Woo, hallelujah. All men know this. These signs shall follow them that believe. Lift up the authority. The inside. Lift up the authority. Lift up the authority. Let's just have them come to music. We're not going to finish, and I don't want to keep going. Oh my. Brothers and sisters, there's something that may be stopping you tonight. But leave these. Let's leave this place with that thing under our feet. Amen. That thing that's been attacking us, it's a defeated foe. Amen. It's just waiting for you to recognize who you are. Amen. And come to your authority. Come to your kingship. Yes. Come to your kingship. Right. Oh my, it doesn't matter how long you've been waiting. Hallelujah. Let's come out of that place. Let's move. Let's go back to what we talked about with the chess pieces. Let's move. Maybe we need to move tonight. Maybe we need blocked. Maybe something needs captured. What is it for you? You know, everything that David went through, the hardships, the difficulties, they left scars.
Right.
Maybe a mental scar. Maybe physical scars. You know, I have a scar in my hand. I had to look for just a minute because it's been so long ago. I started plumbing a long time ago, and I went in there, and I had grabbed a pair of chinlocks and a piece of towel. And I'd done something underneath, something on the sink, and it come off there, and it cut my hand pretty good, wide open. And you know, there's a scar right here that reminds me of what happened. Yeah. You know, right now, I can push on that thing, it doesn't hurt a bit. Right. Doesn't hurt a bit. I had to even take a second and realize what hand it was on. It has no effect anymore on my life that at one time it did. But it's a scar. Now what is it? It's a testimony.
Amen.
See, scars are marks remaining after injured tissue has healed. It's not a wound. It's a scar. We must come to the place where we wouldn't trade our deepest pain. Why? Because this brokenness that we went through brought us closer to Him. And these wounds are a story. I just gave you a story of my testimony, right? Now, I go back and how I was to rewind time in that moment. That was a hard time in my life to make that decision. But I'll tell you today, it's one of the best decisions I made. You talk about chains breaking and burdens lifted when I began to take off running. It was a hallelujah moment. I felt like I'd just run right on to glory. What happened? There was a change happened. But I had to sit in that moment and I heard the voice speaking of me not getting that victory. But I'm here to tell you that story is a story He'll use to help somebody else get your victory. It may not be running tonight. It may be something completely different. But whatever He's telling you to do, I encourage you tonight to do it. Because it's worth it every time. See, David was full of scars, yet he was a king. And I'm thankful for David's scars. I'm thankful for my scars. I'm thankful for the testimonies that I heard of Brother Doug and his scars, things that he's went through in his life. What all is this, brothers and sisters? It's because we're a body fitly joined together. If we could all just stand tonight. I'm looking at some kings in caves tonight. You may not have known what this cave was about, but the end result is that you will get closer to the Lord. Every struggle and every battle you face is not in vain. It's for a reason. It's for a purpose. Let's just bow our heads just for a moment. Can we give the Lord just a few moments of time? If we've come through this day, we've heard of His goodness. We heard how He'd never leave us. How much He loves us and how much He cares about us. Do you think a God like that would only want you to come so far and stop? Or do you feel tonight that He's calling you to another level? He's calling this assembly up a little bit higher. Oh, brothers and sisters, sometimes it takes the eagle stirring the nest. You know, at one time, that little rabbit fur was nice while you sat in the nest. And He designed it that way because maybe you were a newborn babe. But if you ever notice, when Brother Branham talks about this, he talks about the eagle stirring her nest. Why is this going on? It's because the eagles cannot be content or complacent with nesting only. God gave them and equipped them with two wings. And if He never gets to that point where He moves all the little things of comfort and He begins, I like how He puts it. He says that eagle sets on that nest and they begin to flop their wings until it blows all a mighty rushing wind begins to blow all the things out of that nest that was comfort. But he said, why do they do that? It's because it's flying time. Church, I hope you hear me tonight. It's flying time. You may have been in a cave. You may not have known why. But brothers and sisters, it's flying time. It's home time. It's time to go, brothers and sisters. It's now. Now is the hour. Now is the time. Hallelujah. It is high time to wake out of sleep, out of slumber. Make our calling and our election sure. If you're here tonight, you say, Brother Jarrett, would you remember me in prayer? What you've spoken in these two services has really touched my heart. And I'm just asking you if you will say a prayer for me. If you will lift your hand right to the Lord Jesus Christ, He will meet that need. I can't do it, but I will petition God. Lord Jesus, you saw these hands that were just raised. You saw each one, Lord. It wasn't raised to me, but it was raised, Lord. It's confirmation that what you have spoken, Lord, it will not return void, but it will go out and it will accomplish those things that you have deemed it necessary. Help this little body of believers, Lord, to come closer together. Lord, let that little weaving, Lord, become a little tighter. Hallelujah, Lord, as we come into that capstone. Lord, may there be such a presence, Lord, as we move in together. In unity, Lord. Because we know that the devil doesn't like unity. Let this be a unified body. Oh God, I pray, Lord, for the church board. I pray, Lord, for every musician, everyone, Lord, that would call this church their home. God, that you would raise them up and that you would give them the grace and the strength, God, to be the overcomers in Tucson, Arizona. Lord, that you're calling them to be. Lord, and should you tarry, Lord, if we ever do come back, Lord, that we will find that this place, Lord, is flourishing. The power of God is moving. That hearts are being touched and lives are being changed in this place because you're here. Bless each and every lifted hand tonight. Give them strength. Give them courage. Let them be able to know who they are. Father, we thank you for it and we praise you. It's in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Can you say amen? How many loves the Lord?
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you know that little song, "Will Not Be Defeated"? Will not be defeated. Will not be defeated anymore. No? Oh, man. That's a good song. Y'all gonna have to learn that one day. I don't know if I can lead it because I'll probably get it all messed up. But... yeah, I'll probably get it all messed up. Man, I want to sing it so bad. Nobody here but y'all? I just don't know what key we were in. I don't have a clue. I love these brothers that come up here and say, key of C, key of G. I'm like, key of Psalms, because I don't know any other one. I don't. We'll not be defeated. We'll not be defeated. We'll not be defeated anymore. Since the Holy Ghost came in, gave us power over sin, we'll not be defeated anymore. We'll not be defeated. We'll not be defeated. We'll not be defeated anymore. Since the Holy Ghost gave us power over sin, we'll not be defeated anymore. Hallelujah. We'll not be defeated. We'll not be defeated anymore. Since the Holy Ghost came, gave us power over sin, we'll not be defeated. Oh, let's sing it again. Hallelujah. Oh, we'll not be defeated. We'll not be defeated. We'll not be defeated anymore. Since the Holy Ghost came in, gave us power over sin, we'll not be defeated. Oh, why is that? Because we're kings. Oh, we'll not be defeated. We'll not be defeated. We'll not be defeated anymore. Since the Holy Ghost gave us power over sin, we'll not be defeated anymore. One more time. Hallelujah.